Hey, welcome to the world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. It's Friday, and that's only good. Also tonight, we're going to be talking with Don Berman and Harvey Wehrman. Harvey is a World War II veteran from the Pacific. He was a Marine. And the news is that the Japanese soldier that stayed in the jungle for all those years, you know?
Well, there was more than one, Phil.
Yeah, there was more than one. One of the Japanese, I guess, I don't know how many of them are alive, but there were Japanese soldiers that stayed alive in the jungle and refused to surrender. I'm sure you've heard the stories, and they're true. Maybe not to the extent that some of the urban legends would have them be, but there were three, I think there were like two or three or four, and they were all eventually coaxed out of the jungle in the 70s, if I'm not mistaken.
What was it about the 70s?
What are you talking about? What about the 70s?
Well, why the 70s, bud? Why not the 60s?
Because they ran out of food.
Yeah, sure, that's it. They ran out of food. No, they didn't run out of food. I don't know. I believe that what happened was the Japanese government. See, these guys were, their existence was known because they were stealing food, because they would make minimal contact with areas of habitation to steal food or to steal a supply and then take off into the jungle again. And that's the only way they were going to survive. These guys, it's interesting. Some people think that the Japanese soldiers that survived in the jungle for all those years did it strictly on, you know, eating tree bark and insects. No, not entirely. They were in a sort of a hit-and-run battle with civilization, grabbing things, going into the jungle. And certainly their existence was known by the Filipinos and by the Japanese authorities. At one point, and I think probably more than once, the Japanese went down there either with some officials from the army or they had their relatives, I think, and they had loudspeakers and they would blast into the jungle, "Hey, Charlie, come on out, you know."
Who's Charlie?
Not Charlie.
That's what they call the Japanese, Charlie.
No, they didn't call him Charlie. I'm sorry I used the word Charlie. I mean, hey, this guy's name was Hiru.
So they go, "Hey, Hiru, come on out."
Well, they said to him, they would be on the loudspeaker, and they would say, "Come on out. It's okay. You know, the war's been over. You must come out." The emperor, you know, because the Emperor Hirohito, he went on the radio and he said, "We're going to surrender." Otherwise, the Japanese people, it's thought they wouldn't have surrendered. I don't know if that's the case. I've done a fair amount of studying that period, as a lot of you guys know.
If you're going to do a lecture on World War II, can I go get, I need to take care of some toilet items.
Yeah, go ahead, Margaret.
Never mind.
Margaret, you shouldn't be so rude as to...
Never mind, I'll stay here.
I'm not going to do a lecture. What I'm trying to say is they think that the Japanese wouldn't have surrendered unless the emperor said to surrender. I disagree. I not so much disagree that they wouldn't surrender, but I don't agree with the idea that it would have taken... there would have been a bloodbath and a slaughter, and it would have just been a horrific fight up the island as the Americans... Because I think by this point they were starving... They were hungry. The Japanese people were. It was not pleasant, man. What was happening to them? They were badly in every way. They were badly hurting. You know, physically, emotionally. Whether they wanted to fight on for the emperor or not, I don't think they had much left in them. But you know, that's not for me to say. So anyway, they did. They went down there with the loudspeakers.
Better go down the jungle and say what?
They went into the jungle and they'd say, "Hey, come on out." You know,
well, I believe, Phil, I was in the Army. I know a little bit about this.
Go ahead, General.
They would go up to the jungle perimeter, and I'm imagining what they would do is then get someone who spoke a very fluent and elegant Japanese so that you didn't scare the man with the harshness of an American accent, and you would say... Well, then you're stuck, because most Americans really don't know how to communicate. We know the language, but we don't know how to communicate. So you would probably be stuck saying, "Listen, Nip."
Wait. What do you mean, "Listen, Nip"?
Well, I don't know.
What is a Nip?
Now, let's not get into what that is. You would have to say, first of all, it's not our job. The Japanese would be doing it.
Well, that would be the better idea.
Yeah, well, I think that's what was happening. And they said, come on out, it's cool. Now, eventually they all did come out. One of these guys, I believe, and I could be mistaken, one of the guys that came out of the jungle, one of the Japanese soldiers, was not really happy about it. He wasn't happy to hear that Japan had surrendered. He wasn't happy to hear that the emperor had said surrender. And he just was very disappointed. And I don't believe he stayed in Japan very long. I think he went to live somewhere else. I think he moved to Taiwan or something.
Well, what is it with Taiwan?
I don't know. Maybe he just thought Taiwan was more conducive to a sort of the mindset that he had about fidelity and loyalty to God. I don't know. But one of the guys was kind of pissed off. Now, the man who just passed on, he died at the age of 90. He's a Japanese soldier who refused to surrender for 29 years after the end of World War II. He just died in Japan. He was 91 years of age when he died, which was yesterday. But he had remained on duty on Lubang Island near Luzon in the Philippines until 1974 because he did not believe that the war had ended.
Yeah, see, they did. Everybody told him on a loudspeaker.
They told him on the loud. Yeah, they told him. Because, like I said, they knew by the 70s, they knew there's some guys in here. We think they're Japanese soldiers. Well, how do you know? Well, you know, I think there had been some contact with one or two. And by that point, they knew, so they would tell them, you know, the war is over. And they didn't believe it. They thought it was a con. They thought it was some way of tricking them into coming out of the jungle. Still wearing his uniform, Lieutenant Hiro Onoda was eventually persuaded to leave the Philippines by his former commanding officer. Ready for that? He was welcomed back as a hero in Japan, as the reports indicated. And this guy had been, as I mentioned, in that jungle for 29 years.
And what was his name?
His name was Hiro Onoda. So, dying at 91, that would have put him, let's call that 54 years of age when he came out of the jungle in 74. He would have been 24, 25 years old when the war ended. 25. So he spent his life, man. He spent the most productive time of his life, if you will. He spent the most, he spent his youth, he spent his life in the jungle for the emperor.
Well, man, I'll tell you right now, I'd be pissed off at the emperor.
You'd be pissed off at the emperor.
Well, why wouldn't you be pissed? He's sitting in a tree, and the emperor is kicking it, as the kids say, the emperor is kicking it in Tokyo.
What do you mean he's sitting in a tree?
I'm telling you, what do you think he's doing?
Well, he's hiding from the American war criminal.
Oh, the American war criminal.
Phil, take it easy. That's what he thinks.
Well, let me tell you something. He's sitting up in a tree, sucking coconut milk while the emperor's kicking it with geisha girls, every kind of lotion.
All right. Okay, General. Your mind has to go there, huh?
Yeah, the General's right. That's a very good point, General.
Thank you very much, bud.
Yeah, that's it. This poor Japanese guy is sitting in a tree in the Philippines eating coconut, and the emperor's kicking it with geisha girls and every kind of lotion. Is that what I just heard you say?
Yes, you did. Roger that.
All right.
Oh, well, isn't that just a marvelous broadcast moment? Oh, right. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry, and this is the Today Show.
Where are you so...
Yeah, what are you being a bitch for?
He called me a bitch. Now, you know I can't let that go.
Hey! Ow!
Yeah, call me a bitch again.
Margaret, come on. You know, I mean, you're the one that's giving me crap.
Oh, I gave you a little bit of a hard time. You're going, ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo. Me and the General have got a real rapport here.
So we'll give you a little bit more information on that. President Obama, by the way, has... Not that this is all that important, because I don't personally give... I could care less about the NSA. Go ahead and spy on me, like you weren't doing it anyway. Keeping a wide net, Obama sets limits on phone spying. We'll be back with that and more news here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Online at philhendryshow.com right now with live streaming video of the show. If you want to watch the show, you can listen to the show on TuneIn live and without the premium charge. You can also listen to the show live on our website. Free at 7 to 10 every night Pacific. Listen to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And, of course, with our subscription, you can hear the podcast the following day. The Bobby Dooley podcast finally posted. You ready for that?
Well, what is up with SoundCloud?
I don't know, but Bobby's finally up and raging, baby. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. Oh, the Ted Bell shirts are back in. Famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com on TuneIn, on philhenryshow.com with our video cast as well as our live TuneIn feed of our audio, cast, our podcast. I mean, you got to get with it, man. There's all kinds of stuff that's going on out there. There's all kinds of ways of enjoying and delivering. And by the way, we got a very piece. Listen to me.
You got a piece?
Yeah, you're being all graphic and everything.
Will you shut up with that laugh before I kill you? Okay?
Yeah, no kidding, man. What?
Bud, you know how fond I am of you. You know that.
Yes, sir.
You laugh like a gibbering fool. You laugh as if you've gone monkey, as if you're climbing a tree and you'll never come back. So stop already with that hee-hee-hee.
Sorry.
Yeah, so maybe, General, you can kick his ass and whip some shape into him, you know?
I'll kick his ass. I'll get him going in the right direction. Don't you worry about it.
Well, sir,
never mind. Just hold your tongue.
All right, look. So where are we? Oh, yeah, we got Don Berman on the line and also Harvey Wireman, who's a veteran of the Marine Corps in the Second World War. Harvey was at Saipan and a couple of other places. We're going to talk with him. We actually have Harvey first, I think, here online from his car, coming back from San Marino this evening. Harvey, how are you?
Hello, Phil.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm great, sonny. Who's the guy you said the guy that was the Japanese guy that died was this guy Onoda? Now, you have to understand, he's a good deal older than me. I was only 19 years old, you know, and everything like that.
Did you see the picture of this guy in the paper?
Well, I saw the picture of him as an old man, you know, when he surrendered in 1974. Look at the picture of him here. He's got the, you know, the samurai sword. And a lot of guys paid top dollar to get those. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Harvey, this is General Shaw. Now, did you, were you purchasing these from Japanese or from each other?
You know, you'd get it. The occupational guys, which were the Army guys, they went into Japan and they occupied Japan. They got these flags and they got the swords and you know that. Now, if you got a lot of the Marines and the Army and in the actual theater of operations got the flags and the swords too. You'd take them off it. You know, I hate to say it, but you'd pull it off of a dead, you know, a dead guy, and then you'd put it into your, you know, belongings.
Did they ever want you guys? Did the Marines, the Army, ever ask you guys to not take that stuff back to the States?
No, they didn't. It was, the times were different back then. As long as you could pack it and it wasn't going to cause anybody a problem, and it wasn't going to, you know, it wasn't going to stick some guy in the ribs while you're heading home. You know. But you brought up a point that has fascinated me. And that was the fact that this guy was sitting, just like you said, General, up in the he was sitting up in the jungle while the Emperor of Japan had surrendered and had just gone on with his life as if someone just cut a particularly nasty but nonetheless non-fatal fart.
Well, Harvey, what does that mean? We're talking about warfare here.
I understand, Ms. Gray, that we're talking about war. Don't I know it? But the Emperor of Japan... this guy was in the jungle eating bugs. Do you understand? And the emperor is still having some of that good Kobe beef, and he's got that the Tojo beef. You know what I mean, Phil?
What do you mean Tojo beef?
You're talking about the Kobe beef?
I mentioned Kobe. Isn't there a Tojo beef?
Tojo was the prime minister.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. The prime. Well, but the Emperor of Japan is sitting in the palace, and he's kicking it with he's got sushi, I don't know, whatever they have, and I'm sure he's got the sashimi salad and that soup they eat. And meanwhile, this guy is sitting down in the jungle, and he's eating bugs, and he's drinking rainwater from a large banana leaf and frog. He's eating bug and frog for dinner and drinking banana leaf water. Are you ready for that? If I came back from the war after being discovered in a jungle, I would make a direct beeline. line for the emperor and say to him, did you ever see how I can operate this sword so that the head comes off and you'll continue to have dinner, your royal highness? Watch this. Just like in that movie, Phil.
Okay, Harvey, I think we get the point.
No, what was the movie, Margaret?
Are you talking about Kill Bill?
Kill Bill, yeah. God, I love that. God, how I loved it so. Did you see the Kill Bill?
Yeah, I saw that. I said there's all kinds of crazy, wild martial arts and a lot, and I mean a lot of heads getting cut off, legs getting cut off.
Yeah, but the arm on that one chick got cut off, too. That's bitching.
Yeah, I saw that. Kill Bill 2?
Yeah. And another time...
Never mind about the movie Kill Bill, okay?
But you would say that's what I would...
Hold on for a minute and slow down, will you? Would you get him under control so we can get on the line Don Berman from Channel 19 News, who has the actual report on this thing from the jungles... well, not from the jungles, because the jungle story has already been... reported. We're talking about from Japan, where this man was living after being discovered. Don, how are you?
Well, this is Don Berman, Channel 19, and we did report earlier today on the passing of Hiro Onoda, who was the lieutenant in the Imperial Japanese Army, who refused to surrender after the end of World War II, even as the surrender documents were being signed on the Missouri there in Tokyo Bay. Lieutenant Onoda decided, along with others of his ilk, the Imperial Japanese Army soldiers, who would not accept defeat unless the Emperor himself personally delivered to them a message saying, you can now surrender. They would not quit fighting, and so he stayed in the jungle all the way to 1974, at which time he was discovered and given a hat and a coat, or so. I don't know what they did, but I guess that's all I've written.
Oh, okay, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for you to do a whole real heavy report, Don. You're right. That's pretty much the gist of it. And he passed on today.
He passed on today in Japan at the age of 91. I think the man, he became a national hero in Japan for his steadfast commitment and loyalty to the emperor. Harvey Wyman mentioning the fact that while he is sitting in a jungle up in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. I was just throwing that in as a little joke, if you're saying sitting in the tree. You know the nursery rhyme?
We heard you, Don. It's not very appropriate.
Yeah, would you continue with the report, please?
Yeah, where is the guy that said he was sitting in the tree?
Yeah, this is Harvey Wyman, Don. I said he was sitting in a tree. I didn't say K-I-S-S-I-N-G, okay?
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Thank you for setting me straight. Okay. Yeah, gee. Thanks for putting me in my place. Okay.
It's not that heavy, Don.
No, you're not the one that is being embarrassed on national radio, Phil. You're not the one. The last I checked, I thought it was me. I'm looking in the mirror at me, and my face is beet red. I don't know what your face looks like, but I don't think it is. My face is beet red, and I feel a burning in the...
A burning in the what?
In the crack of my ass. So, Phil, what I would...
All right, thanks very much, Don Berman. So, Harvey, any last thoughts?
What does that mean, any last? Where's this guy Berman?
They had to hang up on Berman because he made a very unnecessarily foul comment having to do with having been assaulted.
You know, that seems to be a regular theme on your program, Henry. That's why I don't like coming on your show, because you guys talk about it so much. It sounds to me like you guys are just itching to do it to somebody, you know?
Yeah, and why are you laughing at that?
Well, the thought of it is so absurd.
What are you talking about? You make us out to be a perv.
Hold on for a minute. I think he's making a very good point. You guys talk about the assault in a jail cell and other places so often. I think he's right. I think you guys are itching to do it.
Itching to do it. I didn't say it. Berman did.
Yeah, Berman did.
Well, you laughed.
No, he laughed. Berman laughed.
Actually, I laughed. Berman laughed, and I laughed, but you couldn't hear me laughing. I didn't hear you guys laugh to the extent that I don't think you laughed. I'm Harvey Wyman.
Why are they doing that?
Margaret, I'll tell you what, don't get all nuts about the fact that they're locking out with their names. Help me out with why it is they're hanging up, or why it is I have to hang up on them. Help me out with the fact that I've got people, and only on this show, who call and have about half of their mind working at any given time. All right, so congratulations to all concerned there. Lieutenant Anuta, you are now, or Anoda, excuse me, you are now riding the dragon with the Emperor. Godspeed, sir. Good job. No, I'm being very serious now. I'm not trying to be offensive, okay?
Well, as long as you're not... he is a fellow warrior, and he's riding the dragon.
Yeah.
Why do you say, yeah? I mean...
riding the dragon means only the Emperor can ride the dragon. Only the Emperor. That's the symbol of the Emperor, isn't it? You don't just say any cat rides the dragon, you know.
Well, this man was in the jungle eating bug and frog. Oh, God.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
What is this, for God's sake? This sounds like something Jason J. Delmonico was listening to. What are you doing?
It's our bumper music. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show is what it is. Welcome back here on this Friday night. Every night, Monday through Friday, till 10 o'clock in the El Pacifico, 1 a.m. out on the eastern perimeters. Don Berman on the line with us. I think we got Harvey. I got both of these guys back on. Don't start flipping out on me and giving me a whole lot of hooey, okay?
I wasn't flipping out, okay? I was trying to give you the best report that I could, Phil. All right?
Where's Harvey?
I mean, I'm just waiting for you two jackasses to fit. You know.
I'll tell you something, Mr. Wireman. With all respect, I know you're a war veteran, but I'm the reporter here. I'm the one with the facts.
I'm not saying you don't have the facts. Henry brought me on because I was in the Pacific when this guy was hiding out in the jungle. But I'm telling you, and I agreed with what Phil said.
Well, I agree too, but I'm not going to say it because I have to be objective. But I totally agree that man should have come out of the jungle, gone directly to the Emperor and urinated on him. But I can't say that.
You just did say it.
You just did say it, Don.
I know I did say it. I know. I'm saying, though, for the record, I'm objective. All right?
What does that mean for the record? I don't speak the language you people speak. You people in the media, it's some kind of Martian that you speak. What is that supposed to mean, for the record, you're objective?
What it means is, as a reporter, I believe he's a hero to the Japanese people, and as a reporter, I'm just reporting. But as an individual, I think he should have gotten out of that jungle, booked the first ship that he could to Tokyo.
What do you mean, booked the first ship? The guy's a hero. They took him back on a government ship.
They took him back to Japan on an official conveyance, I'm sure. What do you mean he had to book passage on a ship?
The guy's out of the jungle. I don't know.
The guy was a hero, man. They're not going to ask him to go. And as soon as you buy a ticket, come on back to... That's fantastic.
You got to be the dumbest guy that I ever heard in my life.
You know something? I'll take that from Henry, but I won't take it from that court jester you got sitting there. Do you understand me?
I understand. Just take it easy for just a second here, bud. General?
If you guys could go ahead and put your brains back into your skulls and quit playing with them, I have a couple of questions.
You know something? I'm getting sick and tired of being offended? Yes, I'm sick and tired of being offended.
I'm not trying to offend you, Mr. Wireman, but I'm simply asking, as a veteran of the Marine Corps, you said you would find these samurai swords. Now, this man held on to his samurai sword. Now, what was the mindset of the Japanese Imperial Army soldier that would cause him to maintain, to stay on duty, and to stay at his post throughout a 29-year period, even when there's someone with a loudspeaker telling him, come out of the jungle, the Emperor wants you to do it.
Because they thought that it was a load. They thought they were being tricked into coming out of the jungle, and then they would be turned into propaganda for the Americans. See, the Japanese, they got a whole other... There, you understand something. When we were over there, we only thought about one thing, killing all kinds of Japanese and then coming back to a steak and a beer. That's all we wanted. But they, war to them, was almost religion. So they would, you know, they'd get up in the morning and they, I don't know if that, but this is what I heard. They would get up in the morning and go, hey, you know, to the gods of the China, Chinese or the Japanese god. It's a Buddha. That's what it is. And then they'd go out and, you know, do a bonsai attack, and then they'd get slaughtered. Then they'd go back, and then they'd say, okay, that didn't work. What other religion? I mean, that's...
What, are you making a joke out of this?
Who said that?
I did, Harvey. It's Phil.
What do you mean, making a joke? That's exactly what they did do. What do you mean, I'm not making a joke?
Well, I think that in Harvey's defense, for all intents and purposes, what they did.
So they got up in the morning and they said some prayers and they went out on a bonsai attack and they got slaughtered and went back and said, oh, I guess that religion didn't work. What next?
I'm kidding about that part. You know, I mean, they were Buddhists. They were Shinto Buddhists. And they would say, hey, yeah, you know, whatever they did.
What's the hey, yeah? That's what I...
That's the religion, Phil, the prayers.
Yeah, don't you understand?
Yeah, sure, I understand.
Don't get all bent out of shape. I'm just trying to approximate what the guy gets out of bed in the morning. He puts on his samurai sword. He puts on that little baseball hat they wore. He goes, ooh, yay, hey, the Buddha, whatever the hell, picks up his gun, runs through the jungle toward an American machine gun nest, gets cut in half, and then crawls back, half of him anyway, and says, yes, General, that failed. You got any other bright ideas? You see what I mean?
So, okay, so that you are making a joke.
I'm not making a joke. I'm telling you that that's essentially how it was.
Crawls back, half of him anyway.
Well, you know, I mean, you got a generation of young people out there that think that the dead reanimate and come crawling back for seconds. I'm just telling you that that was the commitment.
All right, so, Harvey, Don, there was one other soldier that was there with him, and he came out in 1970. Am I right about that?
Yes, well, that is correct. Along with Lieutenant Onoda was Sergeant Yokoi. His name was Soichi Yokoi. He emerged from the jungle in 1972, actually, and that caused a sensation. Of course, when both of these men returned home, they became huge heroes in Japan. So this is a story, as you said, Phil, that involves more than one. There were quite a few others, and there is a very interesting photograph of him coming out of the jungle in 1974, being led out by Filipino military. He did not surrender until his commanding officer, who I can well imagine must have been one of the laziest. If you think about this, here's a guy that was sitting in Japan, another guy, and I don't mean to criticize, but if you want some editorial opinion, you know.
Hold on for a minute. You're going to bag on the entire Japanese army?
I'm telling you, the emperor and the commanding officer of this very brave man were sitting on their dead asses in Japan. You know, I'm a reporter.
Yeah, I was going to say, I want to jump in right now. You are a reporter, and you're supposed to be objective. Whether they're sitting on their, quote, dead asses in Japan is of no interest to you.
Well, I'm listening to Wireman gets to have an opinion. Why don't I?
Well, don't start bawling like a little girl. Wireman's going to have the opinion. You're the reporter.
But I'm far more informed. I'm not saying I'm more informed than you, Harvey, but...
Yeah, that's exactly what you're saying. You're saying that you got more information than me, and no, you don't. So why don't you just sit there and read your little news copy? I'll tell you how it was. It just so happens, I agree with you. The commanding officer, that man, who would have been the immediate, the captain of the platoon, or the company, I should say, he should have gotten on the next boat out of Tokyo heading south, and I don't know how often they run them.
What is it with you guys about buying tickets for boats?
What?
You got this guy coming out of the jungle, better get a ticket to go up to Tokyo. This guy's got to get a ticket. How often do they run them?
I don't know if they're running them. Well, however, the guy's got to come out of Tokyo. He's got to put down the beer, put down the pizza, put down the new, American rock and roll record that he bought. He's got a man down there in the jungle who's living off of bug and frog. You got the emperor with all kinds of new state-of-the-art, what can I say, prostitutes, you know?
Yeah, okay, we all know about the emperor's degenerate ways of living.
Well, I'm trying to make a point. You got a brave soldier in the jungle. Meanwhile, you've got state-of-the-art, I mean USDA-inspected state-of-the-art prostitutes. And you got another guy that's listening to his brand new rock and roll records, and he's putting on his brand new Ray-Bans, and he's looking at himself and saying, hey, I almost look like an American. Meanwhile, his man's down in the jungle eating bug, frog, I don't know what else. You know, he's living three squares a day. That's fine. But can you imagine living three meals a day on frog? Come on, man. Mix it up a little. All right, well.
Harvey, a very good report. Thank you very much.
Wait a minute. Phil's the guy that gets rid of me. Not...
All right, thank. What happened to Don?
I hung up on both of them.
All right, well, that was very funny. So three squares a day, you're going to get pretty tired of frog. All right, man. So, you know, and one of the things about this story that I think is important to mention is, as we mentioned before, you know, you go from, an event goes from memory to history when all of the living participants die. And World War II is rapidly passing from memory to history. World War I has already done that. And the period following World War I, you know, the 20s and the 30s and all of those very dramatic moments in the history of the world, not just this country. And there is one more link to that era gone. This man, Mr. Anoda, I think his name is, who was the guy that came out of the jungle, man. Anyway, he's got a book. Nikki looked it up.
Yeah, told me it's called My Life, My 29 Years in a Jungle... Well, 29 years in the jungle on bug?
No, it ain't 29 years in the jungle on bug. Nikki, what's the name of the book that you found?
It is No Surrender, My
30-Year
War.
No Surrender, My 30-Year War. Nothing about 29 years in the jungle on bug and frog, huh? All right. What?
Well, I don't...
All right, we'll be right back with more news here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and Phil Hendry Show. com. Stay with us, won't you?
What if they said no?
Well, then they can go. I don't care.
You don't care?
I mean, I do care, but...
All of that was on the air. I hope you know that all of that was on the air.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. So thank you, Don Berman, and thank you, Harvey Weirman, for your opinions on this man who died in Tokyo, in Japan, over the last 24 hours, the Lieutenant Hiro Onoda, who was a Japanese Imperial Army soldier who was told to stay behind. So it gets more interesting, General.
Well, you understand, because you're putting me in a very... You know,
You got to answer the questions that are going on around here.
I'll do it, General. As a general, you were one of the you're one of those that gives the orders. Now, how do you tell a man to stay behind and spy? Which is what, am I understanding, Lieutenant Onoda's last orders were.
Well, yes. What happened, Phil, was Lieutenant Onoda was on the Philippines as the United States military, as the army invaded and retook the Philippines from the Japanese. In early 1945, I think it was, or 44. And he was told, as the Japanese were evacuating, by his commanding officer, stay behind and spy on the Americans.
And he was an intelligence officer, right?
He was an intelligence officer.
Yeah, what could be not too intelligent staying behind just to make a joke about it and everything?
Yeah, we don't need a joke right now, dumbass. So...
Hey, watch. Now, come on, Margaret.
Oh, this is very serious. I don't need him... amping up and sharpening and polishing up his clown act. Not with this topic.
All right, okay. But it is kind of funny. He's an intelligence officer, and he winds up spending the, you know, 29 years in the jungle.
Well, I wouldn't be so harsh on the man, because he's doing his job. And again, this was the loyalty of the Japanese soldier.
Yeah, but see, that guy, see, to me, he took it in the giggy with a Wawa brush.
He did what?
Well, what Bud's saying is he got screwed. He got screwed by the emperor, who's kicking it in Tokyo, like you said, with all kinds of state-of-the-art prostitutes. He got screwed by his commanding officer, who's kicking it in Japan with great beer and brand-new rock and roll records.
Well, you clowns can sit... You can play Laughing Boy all day, Phil, if you want.
It's just... I mean, the way, the way you guys paint this picture...
I think it's very sad.
It is sad, but I mean, it is sad. The guy's in the jungle, and his commanding officer's kicking it in Tokyo with brand new rock and roll records.
Well, what's so funny about that, GJC?
It's funny. To me, it is. So...
So anyway, yeah, well, exactly. And then, whoever the man... And that's the guy?
The commanding officer who gave the order to stay behind and spy on the Americans, he eventually was the commanding officer who returned and personally ordered him to surrender. And I imagine it was by way of some sort of a loudspeaker or a communications device like that. But that's what they were doing with all of these guys. And this guy's partner, if you will, the other soldier that was with him, who was a sergeant, a man by the name of, Sergeant Yokoi. That guy had left the jungle in 1972, so the lieutenant stayed a couple of more years, and there you have it. But it's a phenomenon that maybe some of you younger listeners were not aware of. It was one of the last incredible stories from an incredibly revolutionary, earth-shaking, time-changing, world-changing thing called World War II. And you know, the thing about World War II is I've heard it said that World War I and World War II were basically the same war with a 20-year truce. And if you look at the history of those wars, it's hard not to agree with that. It's pretty much the same war with the same battle lines and a 20-year armistice or truce that didn't hold, and eventually things were way worse. And a lot of people say it's because of the way that things wrapped up in World War I, that World War II. But for these guys, you know, and you can see how it reverberates down through the years. Not just the horrible crimes committed against civilians like the Holocaust, but soldiers staying in jungles.
What about a German? Did a German stay in a jungle?
What jungle is a German going to stay in?
Well...
What jungle is he... What do you mean the Germans stay in a jungle?
Well, that'd be a place where the Germans... Maybe they hid out in a chalet.
Are you trying to be funny?
No. If you think about it, Mr. Henry, the Germans, they're going to hide out too.
There was, I'll tell you one thing about the Germans. They did have an underground, or they tried to organize an underground of civilian guerrillas. The Nazis attempted to organize an underground of civilian guerrillas that got some publicity briefly after the war, but it didn't take, and the reason why it didn't take is the Germans were sick, and they were sick and tired of the war, they were sick and tired of Hitler, they were sick and tired of Nazis, they wanted nothing more to do with any of it. So it wasn't going to happen. The Nazi leadership continually misreading the mood of the German people, yeah, they were happy as long as they had food and everything was great. They didn't give a damn what happened to Jews. They had it great, you know. But as soon as they started getting bombs raining down on their heads and their houses were getting blown to bits, then all of a sudden things were changing, and they didn't want anything more to do with these scumbags that were running the country. So at the end of the war, there were, I think there was some propaganda that was discovered exhorting the German civilians to take up arms and to go into the woods and to construct explosives and to basically conduct a guerrilla war behind the scenes. Guerrilla wars are only going to be effective if the civilian populace is so motivated. You know.
Well, what about the French Resistance? Was that the same thing as the Germans?
What kind of a... Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever...
I don't know about it, General.
The French Resistance was not the same...
No, wait a minute. The French Resistance was resisting the Germans.
I know that. What I'm saying is about the German one, where they wanted to blow stuff up.
Yeah, it was. Except the French Resistance was more successful because everybody wanted to join the French Resistance. It was a popular uprising against the Nazis. And the Dutch Resistance was another underground in World War II that was very effective. But the Germans couldn't get anything like that going because nobody gave a damn. No, they just wanted that scum dead and buried. Bud Dickman.
Hey.
Cut. All right, so that's that, man. Now, other news. Apparently, all of that terrible Nazi stuff, you know, has revisited us here in America. That's right. Just ask the average American how things are these days, and he'll tell you, oh, it's bad. It's almost 1984.
You know something, Phil? You laugh about it, but...
Yeah, the NSA, they're spying on everybody.
Well, why do you think that's funny, Phil?
Because I just do. I'm sorry.
Well, it's not funny, and if this guy Obama...
Now, wait a minute. It's not just Obama. It's also the Tea Party. They're doing it, too.
Are you out of your mind or something? The Tea Party is not in power. They're on the fringe. They're the fringe element. A fringe idiot element.
Oh, so you are saying they're idiots.
I'm saying that right now they're idiots. Once they're elected, it'll be fine.
Then they won't be idiots.
Right.
Oh, would you guys just sit down and take your medicine, okay?
Well, what does that mean?
It means exactly what I said. President Obama, acknowledging that high-tech surveillance poses a threat to civil liberties, announced significant changes Friday to the way the government collects and uses telephone records. It doesn't matter, Mr. President. Nobody's going to give a damn. They're all going to think that you're a fascist. It doesn't matter. You can't say anything, you know.
Well, that I agree with, but I'm not blaming President Obama. This was a Bush operation from beginning to end, collecting all the data so that they would have the final chart and check the names off as yes. Now, don't give me that look. As people were being admitted to the concentration camps. Now...
All right. I'm, you know, Margaret...
No, okay. You know, the truth hurts, doesn't it, Phil?
Yeah, that's right. You're right. I'm sorry. The NSA is collecting all of your names out there so you'll be admitted to the concentration camps in an orderly fashion. I forgot. I forgot what the party line is this week.
You go ahead and laugh, Mr. Hendry.
You, as a retired Army general, shouldn't be talking that smack.
Yeah, you're supposed to be loyal and everything.
I am loyal. I like to pick and choose these moments. Moments that may be opportune for a military takeover.
We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Watch us on Phil TV in HD. And, of course, you can listen to us live and free on TuneIn right now.